Welcome back to the lab. Sources have been removed from this recording for compatibility with listening. Visit quantumdisciple.com to view the sources in detail. To the reader at the threshold of the forbidden. In the domain of theological systems, Luciferianism represents the ultimate fork of the original source code. While historic Christianity reads the figure of Lucifer through the lens of a catastrophic system failure, rebellion leading to a fall, Luciferianism reinterprets this same data as a narrative of liberation. It is a system that prioritizes the user as the ultimate authority, seeking enlightenment through the pursuit of forbidden knowledge and moral self-determination. This presentation is a systems audit of this ideological conflict. We are not here to engage in denominational arguments or to rely on caricatures. Throughout this audit, we will present the strongest possible version of the Luciferian position. We will present its claims of enlightenment and rebellion by drawing from practitioner-level sources rather than pop culture stereotypes. We will then test these claims against the biblical source code and the internal consistency of historic Christian theology. The tension begins at the very root of the narrative. In what we will call the Christian source code, the Bible's own narrative, the desire for autonomy apart from the Creator is identified as the primary bug in the human condition. The ancient prophets record the internal logic of this rebellion. Quote, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." End quote. To provide context, this passage is explicitly addressed to the king of Babylon. However, the source code uses typological language. The pattern of pride and fall described here has been understood by historic Christian interpretation as reflecting a deeper cosmic rebellion. We are not proof texting blindly. We are reading within a historical trajectory. Similarly, other prophetic texts address the king of Tyre, yet the language transcends the human referent, describing an anointed guardian cherub in Eden whose heart became proud. Historic Christian interpretation has read this as a parallel window into the same cosmic rebellion pattern. From the Christian perspective, this I will protocol is the definition of pride. It is a haughty spirit that precedes a system crash. The biblical trajectory is consistent. Quote, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall," end quote. Conversely, many strands of Luciferian thought view this same rebellion as the first act of human enlightenment. They point to the serpent's promise in the garden as a security patch for human ignorance. They reframe the figure of the adversary as a light bringer who offers the keys to godhood. Quote, "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." End quote. We seek to align with what the Bible actually says, not what we wish it said. We invite the reader, whether Christian, skeptic, or self-identified Luciferian, to examine the evidence and decide whether the Christian critique of the Luciferian architecture is compelling. Section 1.0, defining the system. The Luciferian kernel. Section 1.1. System overview. To audit Luciferianism effectively, we must first distinguish the user interface, which is pop culture Satanism, from the kernel, which is philosophical Luciferianism. While often confused by external observers, the two operate on different source codes. First, consider atheistic Satanism. This primarily focuses on carnality, ego gratification, and the rejection of spiritual norms. It is often materialist and highly theatrical. Second, consider Luciferianism. This primarily focuses on illumination, the acquisition of hidden knowledge, and the ascent of the self to godhood. While academic categories typically classify Luciferianism as a left-hand path due to its emphasis on self-deification and the rejection of moral laws, some practitioners reject this label. They prefer to distinguish their disciplined pursuit of light from the chaos-oriented Satanism they associate with that path. We note this internal debate without trying to settle it. The core Luciferian axiom is self-deification. This movement is not merely a modern invention, but is anchored in 19th century esoteric philosophy. Thinkers like Helena Blavatsky reinterpreted Lucifer as a symbol of intellectual liberty and enlightenment. Quote, "Lucifer is the logos in his highest and the adversary in his lowest aspect, both of which are reflected in our ego." End quote. Modern authors continue this line of thought today. Quote, "Luciferianism is the ideology of the individual who is accountable only to the self. It is the path of self-illumination," end quote, section 1.2. "The etymological fork, the architecture of this belief system, hinges on a specific linguistic divergence regarding the name Lucifer. The biblical data point shows that the original Hebrew text uses the word Hallel, meaning shining one or morning star. The translation layer reveals that the ancient Latin Vulgate translated Hallel as Lucifer, meaning light bearer. Crucially, that same Latin translation also uses the word Lucifer positively to describe Christ. Quote, "We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts," end quote. Because the word Lucifer is translation neutral, capable of describing a pagan king, a planet, or even Christ, Luciferianism performs an identity reassignment. It hijacks a title associated with light and applies it to the adversary as a Promethean figure who defied the creator to bring knowledge to humanity. Section 1.3, the spectrum of belief. Luciferianism runs on two primary operating systems. First is archetypal or philosophical Luciferianism. In this view, Lucifer is a symbol of skepticism and the rejection of servility. This draws from Romantic era literature, which treats Satan as a representative of creative energy against repression, praising the rebel as a heroic figure of resistance to tyranny. Second is theistic or esoteric Luciferianism. In this view, Lucifer is a literal spiritual being, often viewed as the true God of light opposed to the restrictive God of the Bible. The logic here utilizes a cosmic dualism imported from ancient Gnostic frameworks. It posits that the material world is a prison, and the serpent in Genesis was a liberator on a rescue mission to grant humanity autonomy. Section 1.4, the Christian diagnostic. From the standpoint of the Christian source code, the Luciferian system is a rebranding of the original exploit. The autonomy bug is explicit. The Luciferian project of self-deification is the conscious continuation of the serpent's original offer in the garden. Quote, "You will be like God, knowing good and evil," end quote. Paul warns of an angel of light protocol. He states that the adversary's primary exploit is false illumination. Quote, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve," end quote. There is also a knowledge trap. Christianity is not anti-intellectual. It affirms wisdom as a gift from God. Quote, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding," end quote. However, it warns against counterfeit knowledge. Knowledge decoupled from Christ and elevated as a path to salvation. Quote, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, rather than on Christ," end quote. Quote, "Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge," end quote. Part 2, Section 2.0. The historical bridge, the lineage of the inversion. To understand modern Luciferianism, one must trace the process of rereading the biblical villain as the hero through its historical development. First, the Gnostic roots of the second century. Certain sects proposed that the serpent in Eden was a messenger of the true higher God sent to liberate humanity from the ignorance imposed by the Creator. Second, the medieval underground. Between the 12th and 14th centuries, groups maintained a dualistic worldview, often viewing the God of the Old Testament as an evil entity. This created a vacuum that esoteric traditions would later fill with a light-bringer figure. Third, the romantic reimagining. During the 18th and 19th centuries, poets unintentionally and intentionally provided the aesthetic framework for the satanic hero. They explicitly inverted the categories of good, which they labeled as passive reason, and evil, which they labeled as active energy. Fourth, the occult synthesis. In the 19th century, esoteric groups codified the term Lucifer as a positive principle, stripping it of its Christian context and presenting it as the driving force of human evolution. Fifth, modern practice. In the 20th and 21st centuries, authors synthesized these historical threads into a coherent system centered on the deification of the individual will. Section 3.0, the doctrinal kernel, the code of rebellion. Section 3.1, the axiom of the will, moral autonomy. The fundamental operating system of Luciferianism is the sovereignty of the individual will. While distinct from other occult philosophies, many Luciferian systems adopt the functional equivalent of the command to do whatever you will as the whole of the law. This is not necessarily a call to chaos, but a declaration that the self is the final judge of morality. The logic infers that external moral codes, especially biblical ones, are viewed as slave morality designed to suppress human potential. True morality is self-determined based on the higher self or internal conscience. The Christian reality defines this moral relativism not as freedom, but as a corruption of data. The self is viewed as an unreliable final judge because the internal sensor, the heart, is compromised. Quote, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? End quote. Luciferians argue against this by claiming that the higher self or conscience is a reliable moral compass. The audit notes that scripture acknowledges conscience exists and can accuse or defend. However, it also indicates that conscience can be seared or corrupted. The Christian position is that conscience is insufficient because it operates on corrupted hardware and requires recalibration by external revelation. The system consequence is that this hardware corruption leads to a total inversion of values, which the Bible identifies as a precursor to destruction. Quote, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. End quote. Section 3.2, the inversion of the adversary. This doctrine rewrites the character profile of the entity known as Satan. The Luciferian input views the adversary as the liberator or a Promethean figure. His rebellion is seen as a necessary act of courage against a tyrannical monopoly on power held by the Creator. The Christian reality offers a competing character profile from Jesus Christ. He identifies the adversary not as a liberator, but as a predator and a deceiver whose light is a trap. Quote, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. End quote. While the romantic tradition reframes the rebel as a hero, the source code describes the adversary's motives as predatory and self-exalting. Quote, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. End quote. Quote, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. End quote. Section 3.3, the apotheosis protocol. Self-deification. The ultimate goal of the Luciferian kernel is apotheosis, which means becoming a god. Through hidden knowledge, the practice of magic to cause change in conformity with the will, and extreme discipline, the practitioner seeks to ascend to a state of divinity, achieving immortality and absolute control over their reality. This protocol is not a new evolution. It is a conscious embrace of the original malware recorded in the garden. Quote, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. End quote. The Bible indicates that the pursuit of self-deification does not perfect wisdom, but corrupts it through pride. Quote, your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. End quote. When the creature attempts to occupy the position of the creator, the system crashes. Quote, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the creator. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. End quote. Section 3.4, the rejection of vicarious atonement. A critical firewall exists between the two systems regarding how bugs or sins are resolved. Luciferianism explicitly rejects the concept of a savior, viewing it as an abdication of personal responsibility. Salvation is achieved solely through self-effort and enlightenment. The Christian source code asserts that the system failure of sin is too catastrophic for the user to patch manually. Grace is necessary because the scale of the failure is beyond human repair. Quote, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. End quote. The wages of this failure is a total system shutdown, which is death. This requires an external patch, the atonement. Quote, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. End quote. Part 3, Section 4.0, the esoteric protocol, the Gnostic audit, Section 4.1, system overview. Theistic or esoteric, Luciferianism operates on a Gnostic architecture. Unlike the archetypal view, this system asserts that Lucifer is a literal spiritual entity, the true God of light and wisdom. The material world is viewed as a prison created by a lesser, restrictive deity known as the Demiurge. The path to salvation is found through the acquisition of hidden knowledge, or gnosis, that allows the self to transcend material constraints. This framework is not native to the biblical text. It is imported from ancient heresies and 19th century esoteric thought. It relies on external philosophical assumptions to reread the source code. It should also be noted that much of our historical data regarding these early sects comes from hostile witnesses, as few of their original writings survived intact. Contrary to the view of matter as a botched job, the Christian source code affirms that the material world was created good. The current brokenness is a result of a system infection, which is sin, not an inherent flaw in the hardware of creation. Quote, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. End quote. Quote, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. End quote. Section 4.2. The source code. Biblical basis. This protocol relies on inverting the Genesis narrative, reframing the prohibition of the tree of knowledge as an act of tyranny. Listen to the serpent's offer. Quote, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. End quote. Skeptics often argue the serpent told the truth because Adam and Eve did not drop dead instantly. However, the source code defines the system shutdown of death as beginning with immediate spiritual disconnection, the autonomy bug, which inevitably leads to physical decay. Quote, "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." End quote. Quote, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned." End quote. An audit of the text shows the serpent's claim contained partial truth. Their eyes were opened, and they did gain knowledge of good and evil. However, the knowledge gained was an experiential knowledge of evil, bringing shame, fear, and death, not the godlike wisdom promised. They became like God only in the most ironic sense, aware of moral categories but now corrupted by them. The serpent's exploit was not a lie of content, but a lie of framing. It promised enlightenment while delivering degradation. Section 4.3, the architectural logic. The system utilizes cosmic dualism, proposing a higher god of spirit, Lucifer, and a lower god of matter, Yahweh. Salvation is viewed as an escape from the Creator's laws. This dualism is an external philosophical overlay read back into the text, not a conclusion derived from the biblical data itself. The source code explicitly identifies Christ, the true light, as the architect of both spirit and matter, making this split impossible. Quote, "In the beginning was the Word. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." End quote. Quote, "I am the Lord and there is no other. Apart from me there is no God. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things." End quote. Section 4.4, the Glitch Report, critique and analysis, consider the logical contradiction. Premise A, quote, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all." End quote. Premise B, the entity in question operates via deception and murder. Deception and murder are functional darkness. The conclusion is that it is logically impossible for this entity to be the true God of light. He is, at best, a masquerade. Look at the liar variable. Quote, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." End quote. The text provides a direct identity link. Quote, "The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan who leads the whole world astray." End quote. The logic reveals the parasitic nature of evil. Evil has no source code of its own. It never creates anything out of nothing. It only corrupts what already exists. The reality is that Luciferianism is metaphysically parasitic. It requires God's good creation and moral categories to exist in order to invert them. Evil is simply the privation of good. It has no independent substance. This creates an entropy paradox. While promising ascent, autonomous systems tend toward fragmentation. The pursuit of absolute autonomy apart from the life source leads to the collapse of internal coherence and the frustration of the system. Quote, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay." End quote. Part 4, Section 5.0, The System Restore, The Paradox of Ascent. Section 5.1, The Algorithm of Ascent. The central conflict between the two systems is the method of elevation. Luciferianism argues that the way up is through self-assertion. The Christian source code argues that the way up is through self-emptying or kenosis. The Luciferian loop is defined by upward grasping. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. It is an attempt to seize divinity by force. The Christ Protocol introduces a counterintuitive algorithm. Greatness is found in service, and exaltation is the result of humility. Quote, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. End quote. Quote, son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. End quote. This is a hard-coded law of the spiritual operating system. Those who attempt to bypass the humility protocol are automatically throttled down. Quote, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. End quote. Quote, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. End quote. Self-emptying is not the destruction or erasure of the self, but its recalibration. Christ did not cease to be himself when he emptied himself. His identity was fulfilled through self-giving. In the Christian source code, the self is most fully itself when aligned with the Creator. Pride and self-deification actually shrink the self into something less than it was designed to be. Section 5.2, true versus false hidden knowledge. Luciferianism prioritizes hidden knowledge or gnosis as a commodity to be acquired for power and separation. Christianity identifies Christ as the source of all knowledge, intended for relational union. Quote, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. End quote. The system distinguishes between knowledge that leads to inflation and knowledge that leads to structural integrity. Quote, we know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up. End quote. The system is not anti-knowledge. It claims that all real wisdom is stored within the architect. Quote, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? End quote. Luciferian knowledge puffs up and leads to fragmentation. Christian knowledge is rooted in love and builds up the system through union with the architect. Section 5.3, the definition of liberty. The final divergence lies in the definition of freedom, autonomy versus alignment. Luciferian liberty defines freedom as autonomy, the absence of external authority. The slogan, no gods, no masters, encapsulates the desire to be the sole user and admin of one's reality. The source code warns that this promise of autonomous freedom is a recursive trap leading to depravity. Quote, they promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity, for people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. End quote. Christian liberty defines freedom as alignment, functioning according to design and objective reality. Quote, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. End quote. Liberty is not a platform for self-indulgence, but a platform for love. Quote, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. End quote. The reality check is that everyone serves a master. Freedom is not the ability to ignore gravity. It is the ability to fly by working within the laws of aerodynamics. Luciferian liberty is the attempt to fly by denying gravity exists, resulting in an inevitable system crash. Section 5.4, conclusion, the final fork. The audit of Luciferianism reveals a system that promises godhood but delivers fragmentation. It is a fork of the reality code that cannot sustain itself because it cuts ties with the source of life. The warning is clear. The pursuit of the left-hand path ends in the outer darkness. Quote, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. End quote. Outer darkness is not a medieval invention, but a phrase used by Jesus himself. It describes the logical end state of radical autonomy. It is total exclusion from the light, life, and community of God. not as arbitrary punishment, but as the natural consequence of a will that refuses integration. We must explicitly contrast the serpent's original exploit with the gospel's fulfillment. The serpent's lie was, you will be like God. The method was rebellion and an illegal hack. The result was a system crash, death, and fragmentation. The gospel's fulfillment is to participate in the divine nature. The method is grace and union with Christ. The result is a system restore, eternal life, and integration. The goal of Christian transformation is Christ-likeness, not autonomous godhood. Quote, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, end quote. Quote, dear friends, now we are children of God. When Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, end quote. Quote, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, end quote. The final verdict. The illegal hack of Luciferianism crashes the system. The legal patch of union with Christ actually delivers what the hack falsely promised. The Christian gospel offers, by grace, true glory and participation in the divine nature, not by seizing the throne, but by trusting the King. Section 6.0, system logs, audit trail, and data sources. Here is a summary of the foundational logs used to compile this audit. We relied upon the biblical texts to establish the Christian source code, consulting both the English translations and the original ancient languages to understand the precise usage of words like Hillel and Lucifer. We reviewed the scriptural declarations identifying the material world as inherently good, and the original warnings given in the garden regarding the fatal consequences of rebellion. We analyzed the prophetic patterns of pride and dissent, contrasting them with the monotheistic demolition of cosmic dualism, affirming Christ as the sole creator of all things. We documented the profile of the adversary as a liar and murderer who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. We examined the definition of eternal life as knowing God and tracked the logic of idolatry, the entrance of death, and the slavery that results from false freedom. We noted the limits of human conscience and the absolute necessity of the grace provided through the atonement. We traced the profound logic of self-emptying, where Christ learned obedience through suffering, demonstrating that exaltation follows humility. We recognize the warnings against knowledge that merely puffs up, celebrating instead the love that builds up and the progressive transformation of the believer into the image of Christ. We acknowledge the stark reality of the outer darkness as the final destination for radical autonomy. To understand the opposing framework, we consulted practitioner testimonies and modern ideology regarding self-deification. We reviewed primary ancient Gnostic texts that provide evidence of the inversion narrative, recasting the serpent as a hero against an oppressive creator. We traced the esoteric reinterpretation of Lucifer as the bringer of light through 19th century occult synthesis. We also followed the literary drivers from the epic poems that unintentionally provided the satanic hero archetype to the romantic writers who explicitly inverted the categories of heaven and hell, celebrating the rebel who defies tyranny. We acknowledge the philosophical critiques of Christian morality that formed a bridge to modern self-deification. Finally, we utilize the historical records of early church fathers who documented and refuted ancient heresies, establishing the parasitic nature of evil as merely the absence of good. Through it all, we applied the Berean protocol, eagerly examining the message and testing all claims to hold firmly to what is true and good. Thank you for listening. Please like and subscribe and visit quantumdisciple.com for more Christian research. Quantum Disciple out.